Now, author and social historian Peter Maggs has been on the show a couple of times because he's written three books, and they are books which are based on real life in history. And the good news is you can actually see Peter this Friday as part of the Chelmsford Ideas Festival. You may have seen the posters all around town at the moment. But what's it all about? Well, let's find out more, because Peter is back with me in the studio and we're delighted to have him here again. How are you?
Very well, Tony. Thank you.
Excellent stuff. First of all, before we go any further, let's just talk about the books that you've written so far. Yeah. For those that haven't caught up, these books, as I mentioned before, are based on true events. So just take us through what they are.
Right. Well, they are actual true events. The first one was about Henry John Hatch, the first chaplain of Wandsworth Prison. And he ended up in prison himself after he was accused of indecently assaulting a couple of children under his care. He was let out when the elder of the two children, who was 12, was tried at the Old Bailey for perjury. She was found guilty. She was sent to prison. He was let out. And then there was a long series of court actions to try and clear his name, get some compensation. I read a lot of press reports about Henry, and his case was constantly being compared with that of Smethurst, Thomas Smethurst, who was a retired doctor who'd been accused of poisoning his bigamous wife. Both cases could have been cleared up much more easily if there'd been a court of criminal appeal, which there wasn't at the time. And so I got interested in Smethurst, and cut long story short, he was my next book. I found out a fair bit about him. There was already a book written about him, but a long time ago, back in the 30s. And then when I'd done that, I was sort of casting around things to do. And I remembered a case that sort of resonated with me at the time, the murder in the Red Barn in Polstead in Suffolk. Hmm. And I first came across it all years ago when I was a student at Essex University. And it was particularly interesting to me because the murderer had been arrested in my hometown, Ealing in West London, where I grew up. And I went past his house thousands of times on my way to school. But my supervisor at Essex University, he lived in Polstead. So I thought, I have to find out about this. And I went back to it expecting not very much new to be said. And in fact, a lot of the books were very unsatisfactory. So I decided to do a completely new investigation of the case. Hmm. And that book came out in June, a few months ago.
And that was the last time we spoke, of course.
It was indeed.
And you once described writing these stories a bit like peeling an onion, you know, that you'd find one thing and then you'd delve a bit further and find something else. And is it fair to say that this is kind of what's brought this talk about, really, the idea of how the criminal system actually worked back then?
Well, it was it's a method for talking about it. You see, there were so many things then that were different from how things are now. I mean, people might think now, you know, well, criminal system's not very satisfactory. But in the mid-19th century, for example, neither the defendant nor his wife was allowed to give evidence. They could not speak. So, you know, you could be accused of murder, you could be accused of all sorts of things. You could not say anything in court. You could plead at the beginning, and at the end, after you were sentenced, after the verdict and before the sentence, you were allowed to make a statement. So you had to rely entirely on the legal system, on your barrister, who should have been briefed by your solicitor, you know, for your defence. Mm. And the second thing was there was no court of criminal appeal. So if you were found guilty, the only option you had was to appeal to the Queen for a royal pardon. And sometimes that was allowed and sometimes it wasn't. And it was obviously a long process. The Court of Criminal Appeal was finally brought in. I mean, Parliament debated it more than 30 times between 1860, when Henry was finally let off, and I think 1907. So all that time, there was no Court of Criminal Appeal. You could appeal against a civil action, but not against a criminal action. And I mean, these days we'd find that incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about this before as well, about the journalism at that time, because, again, the journalism was very different to how we perceive journalists today.
Well, of course, one of the problems was the nature of stuff that you could print.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I look back when I was preparing for this talk, I look back at the very first thing I found in an old copy of The Times, and it was a report of Henry's trial at the magistrate's court. And, of course, what they said is the evidence is too disgusting to print. And that's all they said.
Yeah.
And then when the trial came up at the Old Bailey, they pretty much repeated the same thing. It's not appropriate, can't be printed. And Old Bailey Online has been developed since then with all the details of all the cases at the Old Bailey for about the last 300 or 400 years. But for the Hatch case... it's just a three-liner. You know, they just said what he was accused of and what the verdict was. Absolutely nothing about the evidence.
It's amazing.
And amazingly, I found a transcript of the prosecution evidence in the British Library. And I mean, it's there, chapter and verse, and it'd make your hair curl, actually.
Yes.